The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Pilots go into control because they've been armed.
Yeah.
Passengers react. Pilots act.
I sweat.
Okay, so what am I doing when I'm in the Word of God? I am in my flight simulator.
John Bevere helps prepare you for challenges and adversity through the everyday courage that is found in the fear of the Lord.
He's arming you so that when you face up with adversity, you don't react like the passengers, you act like the pilots.
Next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson, and I'm just loving being here today because John Bevere is with me. And by the way, you know, we talked a lot about the awe of God. This is a book that's blessed so many people. Many of you have seen it, and it's available wherever you get books. But if you missed the other program, any of the other programs with John, go to lifetoday.org because today we are talking about everyday courage. And this is a new devotional. You'll want to get it too. But I love the practicality of this. I love putting a lot of the ideas, the truths that John brings into action because this is how we live. Welcome back.
It's so good to be back, and I love being on with you.
So is that a fair setup of Everyday Courage?
It sure is. Everyday Courage, what happened is the publisher we've seen, The Awe of God, has been selling like crazy, still is after almost 2 years, and we have such a burden to put courage back into believers' hearts. Yeah. With all the cancel culture, with all the hate speech, with all everything that's going on, we have to put that courage back into the hearts of the people. You know what's really interesting to me? And this is really what caught my attention. And this is why we call it Everyday Courage. God said to Joshua 7 times. Now, he either said it through Moses, or he said it through the elders of Israel, once through the elders of Israel, or he said it directly. Mm-hmm. Be strong and of good courage. One day I'm praying, and the Holy Spirit asked me, he said, son, what's the opposite of courage? And I said, fear. Mm-hmm. And he said, put a dis in front of it. And I went, discourage. And Randy, all of a sudden I realized discourage was something I tolerated because I didn't see it as an arch enemy. Oh, I'm just feeling a little discouraged today, right?
Yeah.
And he said, son, it's the opposite of courage. And I told Joshua 7 times to be strong and of good courage, which means what? You're going to have a lot of opportunity to be discouraged. And I went, oh my gosh. And from that day forward, I began to treat discouragement as an archenemy.
So there's a story. You've heard it. These Israelites.
Yep.
Delivered from slavery.
Yep.
And God had a promised land for them, right? So you got their deliverance, and you got their destiny, and you got this desert in between.
Yep.
And you know, one of the biggest reasons they didn't get there was because
discouragement was communicated by 10 leaders.
That's it.
It is something that is contagious. It's more contagious than COVID. It's more contagious than anything. And this is, you know, I had a man actually said to me really early on in ministry, he said, hey, John, would you rather speak to 3 million people or 10 leaders? I said, 3 million people. He said, wrong answer. He said, 10 leaders caused 3 million people to never enter their destiny. I went, oh my gosh. And I realized how important, first of all, leadership is. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I realize how deadly discouragement is, how it can be so easily transmitted. Yeah. I find, and I'm going to say something that may really upset some people, and I hope you're okay with what I say. If I find a negative person, a person who lives in discouragement, I have found a person whose mind is not renewed. If your mind is renewed, because we are commanded to present our body a living sacrifice and be renewed in the spirit of our mind, correct? If we're renewed with the Word of God, you will always have a positive outlook no matter what you're facing. If you look at the first person who's listed that will be outside of the glorious city of God, that will actually be punished, it's the cowards. Cowards are people who have lost courage. Cowards are people that have allowed discouragement to cause them to lose their courage. So it's not something to be taken lightly. And that's why I said I started realizing it was an archenemy, because when I look at that in the book of Revelation, and go check me out, everybody at home, go check, just get your Bible and go. It's right around chapter 20, 21, right in there. It says these are the people that will be outside of, they won't see God. They'll be outside of God. It is the cowardly.
Right. And again, that reflects the Israelites. Here's a hard question, though, because, okay, let's just put ourselves there. 12 people sent in, right?
Yep.
2 came back. They're saying one thing. 10 are saying another thing. I mean, we would say, well, there's wisdom and counsel. You know, I'm going to go with the 10 and not the 2.
Right.
How do we know the difference between who we should listen to, especially when, you know, we're outnumbered by supposedly godly people?
You know, let's think about the Apostle Paul. He's meeting with leaders that he raised up in the church, and they meet at Miletus. And he says to them, by the Spirit of God, he says to them, this is the last time you'll see me until heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he knows this by the Spirit of God. Now, think about it. He can't text them. He can't call them on the iPhone. He can't even email them. If he writes a letter, it's going to take 3-4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What are you going to say to these guys that you raised up who are leaders? He said, now, brothers, I commend you to God. Of course, who is God? God the Holy Spirit. He's the person of the Godhead that's here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
The Father and the Son are on the throne. I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you your inheritance. I find the person to listen to is the person that closely adheres to the word of God. All those people knew that God told them over and over again,
right.
I am bringing you out of Egypt to bring
right.
you into a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey.
Yeah.
I didn't send those spies over there to see if you could take the land. It wasn't even God's idea. It was Moses. It was the people's idea.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, go ahead, go on over there and find out how wonderful this land is. And the land was so wonderful, it took 2 men to carry a bushel of grapes.
Yeah, right.
2 men.
Right.
Okay. That's how abundantly fruitful this land was.
Yeah.
And this is what God has been telling them the whole time. I'm giving you a land of milk and honey. They were only supposed to be in that desert 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
It was 1 year after coming out of Egypt, they sent those guys in. Okay? And I look at this, and here's 10 guys with discouragement that literally pass it on to all 3 million people, mm-hmm. and 2 guys with courage couldn't overcome that discouragement because it's so deadly.
Yeah.
And so I would say to stay safe, let the word of God. I look at the Christians in Berea. They were far, they said, far wiser because they searched the scriptures to even see if the great apostle Paul, what he was saying was true.
Mm-hmm.
So the word of God will produce courage in you. The word of God will keep you, keep your ear open to the people who are speaking the truth.
Yeah. Well, that is so solid. Thank you. I love that. Okay. Courage. There's a lot of different areas you talk about in everyday courage. We just talked a little bit about courage in the unknown because they didn't know. I mean, they knew they had a fight, but then, you know, that's why they sent out the spies, figure out what's going on over there. That's a big one, I think, for a lot of people. Not knowing, one, if it's God's will,
mm-hmm.
you know, not knowing if it's going to succeed, if people are going to like me or you know,
Let me address that one. Number one, is it God's will? The Bible says, don't be foolish, but understand the will of the Lord in the book of Ephesians.
Yeah.
So what are we as believers supposed to do? We're supposed to stay quiet before the Lord in prayer, listening until we know the will of the Lord.
Mm.
Also, I find people that lose heart, that become discouraged, aren't in the Word of God every day. If all 4 sons were sitting here and you said, what's the thing you remember most about your dad? They would say, when we woke up at 5:30 in the morning, we came down, we saw our dad reading the Bible in his office.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have seen too many pastors fall away. I've seen too many of them look at me and say, I'm tired. I'm 65 years old, Randy. I feel like I got enough energy to take a mountain.
Yeah, you
do. I do. I really do. I was in 4 cities in 48 hours preaching before I came here to you. Okay? I feel like I've got the energy of a 30-year-old, okay? Why is that? The Word of God builds you up and gives you your inheritance. I understand the importance. And when I look at pastors and they say, I'm about to turn my church over and I'm 50-some years old, and I'm like, what? And what's the real reason? Tell me the reason. I'm tired, John. I'm tired. And I'll ask them, are you praying? Are you spending time every day reading your Bible?
Yeah.
And they, you know what the answer is?
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
They're too busy.
Now, they read the Bible to prepare for their Sunday message. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, wait a minute. People ask me, they say, which one do you like more? Do you like going out? Because I have tennis courts right by our house, and I go out there when it's dark out and I pray, right? Then I come in the house and read the Bible. They say, which one do you enjoy the most? I have to say, if I have to be really honest, it's when I'm reading the Bible, because I feel like when I'm praying out in those tennis courts, I'm talking to God, but I'm reading the Bible, He's talking to me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I read the Scripture, and before my boys would all say this, they would all, I wouldn't even have to prompt them. They would say, what do you do when you read your Bible? Every one of them would look at you and go, we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. Because the Holy Spirit is our teacher.
Yeah, right.
And the teacher wants permission to be able to open up the Scripture and bring it alive to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do. I've been reading the Bible for 45 years, and I never get tired of it. It's my favorite book, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I always pray, Holy Spirit, please open my eyes and teach me as I read. And He shows me fresh new things every time I read. And I'm telling you, it produces courage in you. Courage isn't just something you can mentally just work up. I believe it's a spiritual force.
So would you say that sometimes we don't have courage in the face of the unknown and some other areas because we haven't taken the time to hear from God?
I would say yes.
And then it's not courage, it's foolishness?
I wouldn't go that far, but I think a lot of times it is. I don't want to say every time it's foolishness,
but
a lot of times it can end up easily being foolish.
Well, okay, so there's another thing you say, which is to obey God even when it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so does it make sense to forgive somebody who's really hurt your family? Does it make sense to bless somebody who they gossiped about you and you lost your dream job?
Yeah.
But you see, the fear of the Lord is means that I will tremble at His word, which means I'll obey God's word even if I don't understand it, even if I don't see a benefit, even if it hurts.
Right.
See, Jesus obeyed the Father to the point of death.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
He feared the Lord. And Peter says, as Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean we go out and look for suffering? Never. A religious person who serves a foreign god, who really isn't even a god, would try to do that. But the Christian says, I live in a fallen world. I live in a world who is anti-God.
Mm-hmm.
That the world, He's the prince of the power of the air.
Mm-hmm.
So if in obeying God, I am going to suffer persecution. I'm going to suffer hardship. I'm going to suffer affliction. But if you're armed for it, you're not in shock, bewilderment, or amazement when you face it, because the Word of God has armed you and prepared you. And so that's why I believe we should stay in prayer and stay in the Word of God. And you know what's interesting is this year, I sat with two pastors who have been in ministry. They've been both been pastors over 50 years. And the passion they have is through the roof. And I asked them, what's your secret? And the one in particular that I'm thinking about, who has started over 500 churches all over the world, he looked at me and said, it's my 4 a.m. prayer time, John. He didn't even bat an eye. He said, it's because I get up and I seek God. I seek Him passionately, because that man understands he's in a war. The devil wants to take him out. He oversees 500 churches all over the globe, and he's a target.
So if you want to cultivate courage, you say arm yourself in adversity.
Arm yourself. Let me give you an example of somebody who's armed and somebody who's not, a pilot.
Yeah.
What do? They send them into simulators,
mm-hmm.
and they throw every catastrophe at them that they can think of, right? Mm-hmm. Passengers are not armed. When the catastrophe hits, they're all screaming. Have you ever been on a plane before when it's been in trouble?
Coming back from Colorado Springs. Yes, my worst flight ever. I hate it.
The pilots go into control. They start saying, pull up the flaps, feather the engines, do whatever needs to be done, because they've been armed.
Yeah.
Passengers react.
Uh-huh.
Pilots act.
I sweat.
Okay, so what am I doing when I'm in the Word of God? I am in my flight simulator, and God is arming. I'm seeing Joseph, who's not even in a Bible study. He's not even in a church. He doesn't have a home group, and yet his dream hasn't come to pass in 10 years, and here's a woman with a seductive spirit up to her eyeballs trying to get him to go to bed with her.
Yeah.
And he's like, most people would be, what good is it serving God? God gave me a dream 10 years ago. It's 10 years I've been a slave. My dad thinks I'm dead. I lost all my inheritance from my father. I'm a slave for the rest of my life.
Mm.
But he obeys God. Why? He had a fear of God. And When you live through that with Joseph and the Holy Spirit's teaching you from it, He's arming you so that when you face up with adversity, you don't react like the passengers. Yeah. You act like the pilots.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think that's why a lot of people are a little freaked out or discouraged today, is because they've not armed themselves?
I'll tell you why. They're spending more time on screens than they are in the Word of God.
Yeah.
I can walk up to any young person, especially 30 years and under, and say, okay, show me your phone. Let's see how many hours you were on the screens last week. Okay, do you read your Bible on the screen? Well, no, not really. Okay, so you were on your screen, looks like to me, 36 hours last week. How much did you read the Bible last week?
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, they'll drop their head and they won't answer. And so, you know, we wonder, why do we have a church in the Western church right now that's... I look at Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He spoke up. Mm-hmm. And during the Hitler regime, he spoke up. He stood out. You look at these great men of God, you know, the Watchman Nee in China. He spoke up. They put him in jail. They cut his tongue out.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he kept preaching with his hands. A person who spends time with God has a strength about them.
Yeah.
And that strength is what it takes to overcome this very corrupt world we're in. Because, Randy, I'll be really honest with you. 40 years ago, 45 years ago, when I got saved, if you would have told me that we would be where we're at today in our society in the United States, I would have said, there's no way.
Yeah,
there's no way.
Yeah, that slippery slope argument, you're a little crazy.
It can't go that bad that fast.
Right, and here we are.
And here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see how anybody can survive this onslaught of lawlessness, because it says before the man of sin is revealed, there's going to be a mystery of lawlessness that's going to be at work in our society.
Yeah, we see.
I don't
it.
See how anybody can survive this onslaught of lawlessness without being in the Word of God.
So, what does that everyday courage look like, just to the person who gets up and goes to work or takes care of the house? They're not the Bonhoeffers. They're not out there, you know.
Mm-hmm. First of all, go to bed 30 minutes earlier. And get up before anybody else gets up in your house, or, you know, if you get up together, fine. And get yourself in the Word of God. The first thing, that's why David said,
dedication.
My voice you will hear in the morning. Because what David was saying is, I don't want to face the day without you renewing me, you recalibrating me. Very interesting thing. I was in prayer, and God showed me how when we read Scripture, it recalibrates us.
Yeah.
So I thought, that's interesting. So I found out, where do you do recalibration? I thought, gas detectors have to be recalibrated. I knew that just by my engineering background. So I went to a company, and I can't remember the company. I can't remember if it was Phillips or whatever, Dow Chemical. And I went to their technicians page, where the technicians actually use this page to calibrate their gas detectors, because federal law says you have to have a gas detector in every room in a chemical factory. Because the gas detector says, hey, there's an unhealthy amount of, right get out.
Right.
So these technicians recalibrate them. So I go to the page, and on the top of the page says, we strongly recommend you recalibrate these gas detectors every day.
Every day?
I went, oh my gosh. And then it said, gave the reason why. They said, because the atmosphere will corrupt them easily.
Huh.
And you know how they recalibrate them? They bring them into a clean air room.
Yeah.
They recalibrate, then they put them back out, okay? So now, what do we do? Every morning, we go into the clean air room. The presence of God, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Word of God recalibrates me, because the atmosphere of the world probably had a little effect on me yesterday,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
why I'm 41 years in ministry, and still I'm not jaded. I'm not cynical. I don't plan to go there, because I want to stay fresh. I want to stay on fire for Jesus.
Mm.
I don't want to lose the love I had for Him at first.
Ah, all right. Stay calibrated out there, people, and you can do it with a little help from John in Everyday Courage, 50 Devotions to Build a Bold Faith. And, you know, I don't know if that word build is there, how intentional it is, but that is it. You build it, and what you're talking about is building it day by day. We'd love to send that to you if you will help us as we build the faith of others by showing the love of Christ to people. There are some people right now that... I've been told by some of them in the field, you know, we prayed to God, and then we want to be that answer to people's prayers. We want you to be a part of it. It's an exciting thing. Watch this, and you'll see how.
On my first day here in Benguela, we decided to go and visit the Benguela Malnutrition Clinic. Prior to this trip, I thought I was prepared to see these things. I've watched James and Betty on TV, I've been in their studios, I've seen the videos, I've heard the stories, so I can handle this. But when I stepped in, there was a child on every single bed. There's skin and bones, some of them have sores on their mouths. They've got that tint of orange hair that you often see in malnourished children. Some of them, it was joyful to see, because some of them were drinking that milk and eating that peanut butter mix that the team provides for them, and you could tell that they were gaining weight. But then there was others. There was this little girl named Maria. And just to lay eyes on her broke my heart. And as I laid my hand on her leg, I remember how small it was. It was taking every bit of energy that she had just to sit up. But this is the condition. Coming here and meeting the moms, meeting the babies, holding their children, that these aren't just stories. They're real people, real children. It's completely different when you're here and you hold their hands and you ask them the questions and they share their sorrows with you, facing tragedy and suffering every single day. And the goal here is to give these people a lifeline so that they can build themselves up, they can have enough food. Their desire isn't for a handout, but a hand up. And we need your help.
I know those pictures are hard to look at. There are networks that won't let us air that. And there are social media platforms that have removed some of our video for showing you how hard that is, but we need you to understand the reality out there. And when you get there and you see it and you really get it in your soul, it's an easy thing to want to help. And that's why we want you to understand the need, because you need to understand the power of your participation. John, I know you've been over there.
Yes.
It changes when you're on the ground.
Yeah. I think what really did it for me is when we were running out of food and I saw the desperation in those kids.
Yeah.
It happened and we had nothing to give them. We were way out in the middle of nowhere. And these are human beings.
Yeah.
These are real people.
Yep. A God's creation.
I love what Life Today is doing.
I appreciate your heart because I know it's genuine, and there's a lot of good things in this world. There's a lot of good causes. But I'm talking about a God cause here. Remember the poor. Remember the poor. Visit those who are in distress, those who are hungry. I mean, it's so simple. Let me break it down for you on a practical level, just so you know. Not all of you can go. You don't want to go. But you can go. That's the thing. You can go in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Because we don't go anywhere where we don't proclaim Jesus Christ. This is how we do it. This is how you participate. $30 will basically feed three children for the next 3 months. How do you do that? Well, it's because we have people in place. We have the whole chain in place to get the food to the most desperate situations. And if they get to where they're self-sufficient, they're good, malnutrition is not an issue, we go to another place where there is great need. We're not going to outpace the need here, but we're only going to do as much as you enable us to do. Maybe you can give $50 that'll feed five children for the next 3 months. $100 will feed 10. Many of you can give $1,000 to feed 100 children, maybe more. And by the way, this is the last week we'll be on the air with this outreach, but the need will continue. And as many of you plan your end of the year giving, this is a wonderful place. I pray that you will consider putting it right here, because mission feeding works. Mission feeding saves lives. And I know you'll be blessing people but you will also be demonstrating the love of Jesus indeed. And we'll give them the word. Trust me, we'll give them the word. If you want to request John's book, Everyday Courage, we'd love to put it in your hands just to build courage in your life. But most of all, we want you to step out with us to proclaim Christ to the world by meeting the most basic needs to people right now. I hope you'll do it, and do it today.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. Extreme drought and famine, putting at risk thousands of lives, means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the Daily Life Devotional Calendar. This perpetual calendar has 365 days worth of scriptures and inspirational thoughts to remind you of the rest you can find in God's loving arms. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Light of Life desk lamp. Find comfort and encouragement from Jesus' words in John 8:12, displayed on this standalone acrylic desk lamp, perfect for home or office decor, as a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Please do go online or go to the phone right now. The situation is urgent, but you can be a part of the solution. And if you want to request Everyday Courage by John Bevere, do that. Love to send it to you. And of course, you can get The Awe of God wherever you get your books. John, appreciate you.
That's so good being on with you, Randy. And I appreciate what Life Today does.
Yeah, and we love that you guys keep coming back. If you missed any of the programs, lifetoday.org. You can see all the programs with John and the other great guests. We'll see you again next time on Life Today.
I just want to remind all of you that we do approach the end of the year and the new year, but we have a wonderful time to make year-end gifts, which are not only a blessing to all the people that the gift literally gives life to, but also gives you a break. It's very meaningful. So keep that in mind and just know that we're going to share the life and love of God because of your help.
Dr. Don Colbert addresses the impact of toxic emotions on our overall health and helps us get into the spiritual health zone next week.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.